All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I'm glad to announce that Dr. Michael Rosen is now a part of the show. And every other Tuesday, he'll be on at 9 o'clock. I'm really excited about his addition. You know, Dr. Rosen, the loss of... You were, before we went to break, and during break, you were talking about what percentage of the nation had union, people were unionized. You said back at the height of it, 35%, and today it's what?
Today it's 10%, but that's only 6%, 6.1% in the private sector. And so the 10% is only that high because there's still large numbers of public sector workers. That's police officers, firefighters, public school teachers, technical in this state, right. Some technical college instructors like my former colleagues at MATC.
So
social workers in some states.
So in this inequality that we are dealing with, and the anger and angst that so many people have who saw their middle class lives taken away. How do we begin to even attempt to rebuild it, Dr. Rosen? Because certainly the people who benefited, the business community from destroying unions aren't going to be in any hurry to all of a sudden say we're willing to share again.
Right. Well, I mean, I think there are a couple good examples. One is the Bucks Arena. An organization, MASH, Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Union Association, formed. And the Bucks owners, even though they were multi-billionaires, came to the state of Wisconsin, to Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee, and
put their hands out
and wanted public fund help, assistance to public fund the stadium. And what MASH was effective in doing was getting the public officials to say, well, if you're going to get public money, then you have to agree that, excuse me for a minute,
yeah.
You have to agree that that you will recognize the union, that you'll allow card check, which means that once 50% of the people, 50% plus one sign a union card, that they have the right to union representation, and that you'll negotiate with that union. And they also guaranteed, and this was a couple of years ago, a minimum salary for every employee, not just in the arena, but in the entire Bucks area, a minimum of 15. So that became the floor, and then MASH could negotiate up. That's one model, because what they're doing there is turning low-paid service work into attempting to turn low-paid service work into middle-class employment. That's one model, and just thinking about that going forward, we have... there's now talk about building a soccer arena at the western end of Wisconsin Avenue with a hotel and apartments, et cetera. And if it was good enough for the Bucks, it should certainly be good enough for this iron district as well. That's one way. Another thing that we're seeing happen, which I think is very positive, is that this younger generation is organizing unions in places like Starbucks, Amazon, in Queens, New York.
Right.
We've seen it at Trader Joe's, TJ Maxx. We've lost a lot of manufacturing. A lot of manufacturing has been lost to China and other countries, but China is the big one. And those jobs aren't coming back.
Right.
At least most of them. But the fact of the matter is that manufacturing jobs were low paid in this country until they were unionized in the 1930s. Now service sector employment at places like Amazon and Apple are low paid, okay? But they don't have to be. The reason that the owner of Amazon or the owners of Walmart are so extraordinarily wealthy, I mean extraordinarily wealthy, is because they are able to get, they've developed a low-wage anti-union model. if we can, if what we're seeing is the development of a unionization movement in the service sector that will force those companies to share the profits that they make, we can begin to build, rebuild the middle class in that way.
So Dr. Rosen, if I'm hearing you correctly, the way that unions came into existence in the 30s, that fight is the fight that has to be had again.
Yeah, and hopefully we're seeing, absolutely, and hopefully we're seeing it with this younger generation. The younger generation has grown up in a period, I mean, basically if you think about younger working people now,
they
grew up in the period of the Great Recession, the 2009 recession, in the transition from George W.
Right.
Bush to Barack Obama, then a very slow recovery under Obama, and then, of course, a COVID and that recession.
That's that Generation X you're talking about.
Yeah, and they have been. The opportunities that were available to previous generations, they haven't seen. They've deferred buying homes. They defer really starting careers. And now what we're seeing is some of them are saying, look, if I'm a barista at Starbucks, or if I'm working in an Amazon warehouse, or if I'm working at TJ Maxx, and they're making these extraordinary profits, I want them to share them with me. And what we're seeing is that contrary to the threats, that people are succeeding in unionizing, and now we'll see. Well, we hope that also Colectivo, by the way, locally. And what we'll begin to see is whether they can successfully negotiate contracts and develop a permanent relationship with their employers.
Dr. Rosen, I often think about the tenets of unionism and what it meant to me and my generation, and so we saw that. I mean, I remember coming into the union, and there were these older men like my father, and even though people might have not gotten along, they knew solidarity.
Right.
They knew the power of that, and so that was something that we had to learn as we came into unions. And I think where unions started falling, and I remember towards the end of my time, people would come into the unions and say, I don't need the union.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, somewhere along the line, and I thought the unions made a mistake for not continuously educating their workers to what it meant to be a union member, right?
Yeah, I mean,
and the history of it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems that unions experienced was success. I mean,
yeah.
it's ironic, but people were getting decent wages and benefits, whether they were working at a
right.
place like A.O. Smith or America Motors or
yeah.
In the skilled trades or at a place like MATC,
right?
Right? They're making good wages and benefits. And when people got hired there, they think, oh, I hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
And they didn't recognize or realize that the jackpot they hit took years of struggle, years of
right.
negotiation, years of sacrifice on the people that came before them. To, you know, we all have that slogan, we stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. But it's very easy for someone who comes in and is all of a sudden they go from making minimum wage to a family supporting
right.
union wage and health benefits to say, oh, this is great. I got it because I'm so smart
yeah.
or I'm so productive or I don't need the union. And and the failure of the unions, the union leadership, frankly, to continue to organize and mobilize new members came back to bite them. And of course that coupled with virulent attacks, both ideological attacks saying that unions were driving companies away,
right.
As well as legal attacks to simply undermine the unions.
You know, Dr. Rosen, the other part of it was that they were so masterful at telling people who weren't in unions that the union guys were fat cats and you don't want to be a part of that, and they don't independently do things. They're weak because they all, you know, if you just do things for yourself and you know, be an individual, the company's going to somehow see you and reward you for being a great worker. They actually led people in different areas to believe that kind of
thing. It was a you know, divide and conquer, right? I mean, and that's been an employer trick for as long as there have been employers, is to divide and conquer the workplace. At one point, one of the financier back in the 19th century said, I can always hire one half of the working class to kill off the other half. They've always used racial divisions, and our, more recently, as women came into the working place, gender divisions, to try to undermine solidarity and unity in the workplace. But the fact of the matter is that we know that both in our own history, that is the United States history, as well as looking at other countries, that countries that have high levels of unionization, countries like
Germany,
Denmark, Sweden, France, Canada, they have not only higher wages and benefits, they have better paths of upward mobility, and they have better social safety nets. Most of those countries, for example, have some form of universal health care. And that's all a result of high levels of unionization, because unions not only negotiate wages, benefits, and working conditions, but they are active in the political arena, making sure that some of the tax benefits are used for the beneficiary of working class and middle class people.
All right, got to go to a break. Dr. Michael Rosen is my guest. We'll be right back. You know, Dr. Rosen.